Okay, welcome to Parshas Shoftim, Tavshin Ayin Ches. We're getting close to the end of the year already. It's already Rosh Chodesh El yesterday, and the Sunday, Monday, and Shabbos and Sunday, rather, was Rosh Chodesh El. And we celebrate an anniversary, Baruch Hashem, that this Parshas Re'eh concluded a year since we started with Torah Anytime, with video, and Baruch Hashem, over 300 shiurim on Kol HaLashon. So, Chas V'Hashem, we should all be Zoyche, Gesund, to continue the Avodah. Today's shiur, we make L'Zeichu Nishmas two people. One was supposed to be last week, and that is Mrs. Hachhaus's father, Moshe Ben Levi, who's Yortzeit Azon Chofchas, Benachimov, and he was Mamasha Frazat Shiyid, somebody who worked hard his whole life. He went through the Holocaust, and after he retired, became what every Jewish man aspires to become, yeshiva bacher, and go back to learning Torah and spending time in Ruchnius and Schusi Yagin Aleinu. Baruch Hashem, an Erlich Yid, Mamash. And also, we have last week, you know, we didn't have Shir because of the Levaya for Rebbetzin Sheila Feinstein. And we make also dedicate today's Shir for Chava Sara Bas Avram. And just to tell over something that they mentioned at the yards at Levaya, so they were talking about that she was a principal first for many years in the public school system, and then she became a principal in a Sephardi Beis Yaakov for over 20 years in Flatbush. And when she was training for it, she went to Hunter College. And at Hunter College, she did very, very well. Baruch Hashem, a brilliant woman. And at the graduation, so the professor said, you know, okay, class, you know, you all graduated, this is very chashuv, let's go out to, we'll go out to a restaurant. So Rebbetzin Feinstein, who was, of course, you know, said, I can't go, I keep kosher. So she says, you're from those old-fashioned Jews who do this kosher stuff, you know? What's this all about? So she said to her, she said, you know, Hashem gave over these laws at Har Sinai. If he'll ever come back and tell us to stop listening to them, I'll do that. But in the meantime, it's still in force, and therefore I'm only eating kosher. Okay, end of story, part one. A couple of years later, this lady, the professor, shows up, calls up the Feinsteins, and says, I'm married, I'd like to raise my children in the proper that they should, you know that they're Jewish. Not that she was from, but that they're Jewish. So she came to their house, and the person didn't say what they said to her. And then years and years went by, and one day Rebbetzin Feinstein sees in the New York Times that this person's daughter got married. So she asked her husband, you know, I should call up and give her a mazel tov. We had some shaychus to her all those years before. And he said, yeah, call her. So she calls the lady up, and the lady says, I'm so glad you called, because, you know, I wanted very much that you should, you know, that I was busy, whatever, but it's a wonderful thing, because you should know who my daughter is marrying, somebody who's going to learn in Kail in Eretz Yisrael. So the hashpa that Rebbetzin Feinstein had on this person, who's obviously a professor with all sorts of, you know, liberal, ideas, non-from ideas, obviously made a roshim on it, so that years later, this is the difference. So Schussi Yagin Aleinu, she was talking, used to come to all the Aguda conventions. I remember he's come with Reb Ruving, the Shlita, and it was a big thing. My wife was friendly with her, and she was a very, very hush of a person, very warm person, very caring person. So it's a very big tragedy for Klal Yisrael that this happened. And Schussi Yagin Aleinu. Okay, now let's go on to the Sedra. So we have in this week's Sedra, one of the defining things this week's Sedra is Shoftim. The Sedra says it all. Appointing judges, making a legal system, making a system that works for Klal Yisrael. And one of the things it tells us, if you go to right by Shani, page 542, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it says, Ki sav el oretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noisim Lach. When you come into the land, it's very good to learn these psukim, which we only get a chance to once a year. So let's go through a few psukim. Yerishta v'yashavta ba, and you'll be in the land. V'omarta asim alai melech. I'm going to make a king. we're going to want to make a king, we're going to want to have a legal system. Remember, this is in the time, in those days, the normal system was monarchy, was the way the government worked. You made a king, and the king took care of you. So, k'chol ha'goyim asher svivosoy. But the Torah puts an interesting caveat in. You're not just going to say, I want a king. You're going to say, I want a king like the goyim around me, like the umasoylam surround me. I want such a king. Soim tasim alecha melech. So the Torah says, you should make a melech. Ashivcha Hashem lekecha boy, mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. But when you take a king, you should take a king from amongst your people, take a Jewish person. Lo such lasalach ish nachri. Don't take a non-Jewish person, asher lo achichu, that's not from your brothers. Don't take somebody from the outside, like in the United States, lavdul, in order to become president. It's what we all learned in high school, right? To become president, how old do you have to be? 35, right? And you have to be born where? United States, right?
That was the whole. Unless your name is Obama.
Right. It was, okay. Well, I don't want to go into politics, but yeah, right. So there are certain rules. You got to be, to be a president of a country, you got to be an onzera. So the Torah says, you want to be the president of the Jews, melech of the Jews, you got to be Jewish. Okay, makes sense. We believe in that. So then it says, then it goes into a whole lak lo yar below susan, not too many horses, lo yar below noshim, not too many wives, and lo yar below kesef zav, not too much money, and all of these things. And then the parsha that chelik ends v'haya kishiv al kisei malchus, so it'll be on his amamlachta, it'll be on the king on the throne. The kozel is mishnah Torah azoyz. I'll say from Livnei HaKahanim HaLevim, V'ayisim of a Kerasimo, Kol Yimei Chayecha, Chayav, he'll read it all the days of life. So he should carry a Sefer Torah with him. They used to make a mini Sefer Torah, which he much carried, it was strapped to his arm, like Philin. And he used to have the Sefer Torah, and he's supposed to look at all the days. So I heard from my good Chavar, Rabbi Yosef Ashkenazi, B'Shem Rebelski, that what was the Havah mean? What was the Torah's Havah mean? What was the Torah thinking when it said, make sure that the king is Jewish, it shouldn't be from non-Jewish people? What's the Havah mean? Of course, if you're going to make somebody that's going to be king of the Jews, he's going to be Jewish. What was the Havah mean that you want to take somebody who's not Jewish? Where was the, and then, why do we have all this susim and so on, not too much of this, not too much of that, not too much of that? What's going on here? And then say for Torah, how does this all come together? So he said that the emphasis is that when a person wants the best, right? He gave a mashal. He says, like, we want a doctor, we want the best doctor. We don't want to go to any doctor, we want the best. That's the way we are. So he said, in the same way, we're going to want a king. We're going to appoint a king. But we're not going to want just any king. So we're going to take a look at the Jewish people, and they're going to say, wait a second, they ravad them for all those years. What do they know about being a king? What do they know about being a general? They have no experience. Let's go do a talent search, and we'll put ads in the paper looking for a king, right? Lahavdil, like, that's how Balak became the king of Maya, right? Originally wasn't from Maya, but they were looking for a king. He was qualified, they took a king. So he says, you might say, I want the best king available, so I'm going to look amongst the Umasoylam. I'm going to see, because they have kings. They have people who know how to be kings, because they've done it for so many years. We don't have experience with kings. So the Torah tells you, don't do that. Don't mikerev achecha tosim lecha melech. Lo such losis alecha ish nakri. And that's why the Torah says that, what do you want it? I want, you'll say, v'amata simalai melech kechol agoyim ashev yisoysai. I want like all the kings, like all the nations around me. What does that mean? So pasha pshat, as you think, it means I want a king like they have a king. Whereas he's saying it different, but beautiful pshat. I want a king that's good like their kings. He knows kingdom. He knows how to be a king. You know, they have CEO school. You know, you have places where people go to learn how to be CEO. It's a certain malacha. So we're going to go out with a talent search and we'll find there. So if the Torah, no, only take a yid. And don't, then that yid should not start acting like them with all the horses and all the wives and all the money. That's not a Jewish king. So how's a Jewish king going to know what to do? Who's going to train him? I know when my brother Zalzayin Gesund became Usher of a Rebbe, so he trained by the Beis Yisrael of Ger. He sat for a year and a half, or whatever, the amount of time, I think that's what it was. And he sat, he learned how to be a Rebbe. What?
Rebbe school.
You have to know how to be Rebbe too. You have to know how to be Rebbe a Kvittel. Yeah, Rebbe in school. Yeah, everything needs, you got to be Mashiach. That's what mentoring is. So therefore, you'll say, I'll go and I'll find, even if you'll take a Jewish king, you'll say, I'll go over there. No, says the Torah. You know how you become a Jewish king? You have a Sefer Torah. You look in the Sefer Torah, that's going to be where all your answers are. So if you're going to have a non-Jewish king, he'll say, well, if they rebel against you, just kill everybody. Now, let's take a look, see what the Torah says. Maybe the Torah have a different mahalach, a different etzim. So that's, mamash, beautiful, the whole mahalach of the seven. Now it makes sense. When you'll come into Eretz Yisrael, and you'll say, I want to make a melech, like all the goyim, I want to make a melech, I'm going to take one of them because they know what they're doing. Zok the Torah nein, take only from Yidden, and the Yid should not start acting like them, because that's going to be his taiva, because he's going to say, I want to be like the other malachim. Even the king's going to want to be like the other kings. And he's going to start saying, I want horses, women, noshim, wives, and I'm going to want this. Nay, you got to do a Torah dick. How do you do a Torah dick? You carry a Sefer Torah all your life. So it's beautiful, the malach. What?
What happened to King Shlomo?
So Shlomo Melech, the emes is he had a very good cheshbon. Because the way it used to work in the ancient world, and even until recently, because you'll take a look, even every Queen Victoria was married to this one. The whole royal family of Europe is all. Why did they do that? Why did they marry with each other? Because if my Adam is in your palace, or my daughter is sitting in your palace, I'm not going to make a war with you.
Right.
I make a war with you, you have a hostage. So in effect, what they did is they traded hostages. Only they didn't call it hostages, they called it kids. And that's how they used to keep peace. But in the meantime, they would start inheriting everything. So you have one person, like the Queen of Spain, all of a sudden became the Queen of England because she was related. You know, that's how it worked. So that was, so Shlomo HaMelech, when he married 1,000 wives, remember Reisman once had a share, he made a cheshbon, it would take 21 years to get through all the Sheva Brochas. And without a stop, because every wife gets, you know, you're not allowed to marry two at a time. So everyone gets 7 days. So you figure he's got 52 a year, it'll take him 1,000 wives, takes 21 years, you know. Then no time off for a Shabbos or Yom Tov, you know. That's it, it's not stop. But Lamaisa, that was his cheshbon. That's what Zadok, before his cheshbon was in order to maintain the peace. But the mistake was, is that unfortunately they did things, and having so many wives, he wasn't able to properly be Mashgiach on them. Can be Mashgiach on them, and it happened what happened. Okay, that brings us to Kings. Now let's go a little bit weiter. Let's go to Perek, talk about Pasuk Yud Ches, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches. Just a little bit farther at the end of the story. It says, V'hoyek yeshivta kisim amlachtoi. So we said, the last thing we said is, who's the Jewish king? Because of those mishnei atara azois, I'll say from lifnei ha-kohanim ha-leviyim, V'hoyek zima v'karaboy, kol yimei chayev. All his life he should be learning from it. So we said, what's the pshat? Why is he learning from it? So we said, the pshat is, so he should know how to fear the malchus, the Torah way, not the Umas Oilam way. But we're going to see now a second shot. So he said, that's called Divrit Tara Zois. Vesachukim Eila La Soisim. Levilti Rum Levava in Echav. He shouldn't become haughty above his brothers. Levilti Surmin on Mitzvah. Yom the small, he shouldn't turn from the Mitzvah right or left. Laman Yarek. Yomim Al Mamlachto. He should make many years on his Malchus. Hu Ubanov. Bekar Yisrael. He and his children amongst all Yisrael. So the Chayvus Halvav says the following. Chayvus Halvav, it has a whole shar, a whole gate, a whole chapter, more than a chapter, a whole section, which is dedicated to the Indian Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh means thinking about why we're here. Thinking about what's our purpose in life, doing like a running check. Are we making it in that purpose? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we not? And the Chayvus Halvav asks the question, how often are you supposed to do this reality check? Is it every month, every week, every day, every hour? How often? I mean, you know, how often are we supposed to sit down? Says the Chayvus Halvav, listen to the beautiful logic. Hacheshbon chayav b'adam tamid in kol haref ayin, with every blink of the eye. I don't know how often you blink, but I blink a lot. So it's a lot. All the time. V'im yochol im kol neshim oisav, and if you're able to, with every breath you take, which is even more free. That means the Chayvus Halvav says that a person has to make a cheshbon and nefesh every single moment of his life, every single moment of the day. Okay. Where does he know this from? He says, I have a raya from this pasuk. Because it says that the king, when does he read the Sefer Torah? Vayis'imoy kol yimei chayiv, all the days of his life, which can be interpreted every day or all day long. So the king has it there that he's supposed to be thinking of it every single minute. So every time somebody walks into him, he's standing in his throne, and they say, we've got this to pass, and we've got that shilat to take care of, we've got that to take care of. You know, we think of kings as, boy, they have all the power, they're all the, you know, the chosh of the people. The king has no life. I mean, the king is busy day and night with the tzarchei malchus. That's what he has to have in mind. So every minute he's thinking about the Sefer Torah. So he says, "Kfiza ochi, my brother, roi lisnai lahargal achesri nafshagur b'chol shah b'chol regal el yisbarach." We should always be thinking about where we're going. So Zakrav Galinsky, that's a little bit. We're not on that necessarily that madrega. But at least we should do once a day. And he'll bring a proof in a minute. So here's the story. The story in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kei Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel, very interesting. I've learned this Gemara many times, Baruch Hashem, and I never saw the depth of it, like we're about to say from the Chofetz Chaim, to understand. Here's the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, said Shmuel, Ani linyan zeh, I'm regarding this thing, this concept, kechaymetz ben yayin, like vinegar, the son of wine. That's an expression that we use to show that our father was or mother was better than we are. That we're not up there. We're like vinegar. They were wine. We're like vinegar. That's how far it is. The Gabi Abba, my father. Why? What did my father do that was so great? Shila Abba hoy mesayin nechasa pamayim b'yayin. My father used to check his fields twice a day. V'ani ein mesayin el pamacha, and I only do it once. And the Gemara says that Shmuel Shitosh or Shmuel Shekal Messiah Nechasim Chol Yoyim. Somebody looks at and checks out his Nechasim every day. Mitzvah Ma'av Kesef, he'll always find a Ma'av Kesef. He'll always find some money that he didn't notice. Have you ever done some house cleaning? Obviously, you find some quarters here, you find a few dollars there, you know, that you left in a drawer that you forgot about. He says, if you look at your Nechasim every day, you'll find something. But Shmuel said, my father, Avud Shmuel, his father was known as Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, was known as a big tzaddik. So my father used to look at all his nechasim twice a day, and I do it once a day. So you have this image of Shmuel running around his house, cleaning the house every day, and his father did it twice a day. So the Gemara says, Rav Asi used to go through his nechasim every day, and he said, Heichan Moshe Tiach Shmuel, where's all the money that Shmuel keeps telling me I'm going to find? I didn't find anything. So Pamra Secher Maim Shenifrit Besada, once he saw that something in his field was bubbling up water and it was going to destroy the field, and he was able to stop it because he found a leak, I guess, from the irrigation or whatever. Now I found everything that Shmuel was talking about. So the Shaila is, what are we talking about over here? I mean, Shmuel says, my father, he was better than me. Because he used to check the field twice a day. I only checked the field once. That's what makes one person better than another person? That's what makes the father better than the child? He's azat tzaddik that he checked the field twice a day. Azvos, what does that mean? What are we talking about? That he checked his nechasim twice and he checked his nechasim once. Zok deheilig chafetz chayim. Listen to this. That we're talking about Sha'imik Kavana Shmuel Likinyanim Haruchnim. When he said, I checked my Nechasim, he wasn't talking about Gashmias. That was the Moshe. That's where the Chachomim, when they say these parables and you take them literally, you're not getting you're missing the boat. Said the Chafetz Chaim, he was saying, my father used to check twice and make a Cheshvan on Nefesh, and I only do it once a day. So I'm like chaymetz ben yayin, like vinegar to wine, because my father cared so much about where he's going in life that he did it twice, and I only do it once. And that's azeidok the chafetz chaim. So what does it mean twice and once? How do we understand twice and once? Why is it twice? Is it just a number two, and this is one? Maybe three is better. What does that mean? So he says he used to check it in the morning, and he used to check in the afternoon. Says the Rashi says. Here's what Rashi says. V'avim shel Shmuel shayichasa gadol. Says Rashi, ha'imizbainin nasha p'mayim b'yayin. Like the Gemara says, twice a day. But Rashi adds a little something. But tzarayim u'be'erev, in the morning and at night. Oh, what does that mean, in the morning and at night? So he says, Shmuel, his son, only did it once at night. And that's the difference. What's the difference? What does that mean? So he says, once in the morning means that every morning when you get up, my biggest nisayon when I get up is I'm going to miss the bus, and I'm going to miss the train, and I'm going to come late. Your mind is all over the place, you know, getting to work. You know. But that's not the way it should be. Person should get up in the morning and say, what am I going to accomplish in Ruchnius today? Am I going to do a mitzvah? Will I do a little chesed? Is there somebody I can do chesed for? Is there a little extra Torah that I can learn? Is there a shir I can go to? What can I do? What am I doing with my life today? And at night, you look back and you say, did I do it? Hey, how did the day go? Did I accomplish what I set out to accomplish? Maybe I did even more than I set out to do. So in the morning, that's what he said, that's what Avuda Shmuel was doing. In the morning, he would get up and he'd say, I'm not going to just for bring and waste today. I got to accomplish something today. Am I going to say good morning to somebody and make them feel good? Am I going to place a phone call to somebody? What am I going to do with the day? Let me think about it. And at night, he'd say, did I do it? And Shmuel says, I only did one of those. At the night, I used to look back and say, did I do okay? But I didn't do it like my father did. And therefore, I'm like Chaim Ben Yain, I'm not in his madrega. And that's talk is something that says, so it's a beautiful Gemara. So the Gemara said that Shmuel said, I looked into my chosin once a day, and my father did it twice. That's what he said, what the Chaim Sabava said. That a person has to make a cheshbon and nefesh all the time. That at least once a day, at least like Shmuel. And it's better to do it like a Avuda Shmuel. And that's the way we should try and do it. So he says in the Sefer Kaf HaYosher brings, and this is a scary thing, says the Kaf HaYosher that every morning when a person gets up, so he says there are two malachim escort him the whole day. Remember, you know, when we do Shalom Aleichem, yeah. And we say Tzeisim L'Shalom, so one of the pshatim is, who are we saying hello to, who are we saying goodbye to? So we're saying hello to who? The Malachim of Shabbos are coming to greet us. And who are we saying goodbye to? The Malachim of the week. So we always talk about the Malachim of Shabbos, we don't talk about the Malachim of the week. So what do the Malachim of the week do with you? What are they doing? So he says that everywhere you go, the Malachim are helping you. They're giving you helpful advice. You know, like they always have the little thing on the shoulder, you know, the little creature on the shoulder that reminds you, you know, that you should do the right thing. He says, here's what the Kaf HaYosher says, we'll just quote a few lines. Chayv adam lishamer ma'averus. A person has to be careful of averus. Lo yista yomer small. You shouldn't turn right and left. Bim kozeh. With all of that, sorry, yivduk b'maisa b'chol yom v'yom. He has to look at his maisim every single day. Kasher adam come. He tosses when a person gets out of his bed. Shnei edim two malachim come in front of him all day. If vakish look, he wants to get up. So the Edom tell him a pasuk, "Einechel anoif yabitu vafafu yashiru negdecha." Your eyes should gaze straight ahead, and your breath should go in the right place. Your eyes, your lid should go, should put you in the right direction. He wants to get up to go, so they say another pasuk, "Pales magal raglecha." Put your feet in the right way, and everywhere you go, you have these malachim that are trying to put you in the derech hayasher. So this Be'emeson is where we go for the whole day. So we have the Malachim guiding us. We have a GPS. One of the things they said at the Leviathan that Rebbetzin Feinstein said is GPS stands for God, Parents, School. These are the things that guide you in your life, that put you on the right derech. That's your GPS. So the Malachim are your GPS. We'll figure something out, you know, what it means. But the Malachim take you and they put you in the right derech, and they always put you on the derech HaYosher. And that's the purpose of the Malachim. So the Eibush is a whole thing that we should all, I mean, be able to be with kindness, to be able to go on the derech HaYosher with this help. But to do that, we have to make a cheshbon nefesh. Because the emes is, without a cheshbon nefesh, we'll never get anywhere in life. And that's the emes. The emes is that without a cheshbon nefesh, the Mesillas Yesharim starts out by saying that when a person goes, he's like a horse with blinders. The most people just a horse with blinders. They're going from the moment they're born till the Olam Emes. They just keep going. They don't look anywhere. They're not looking to see what they're doing. They're just handling things as they come. And that's not the derech HaTorah. That's the derech of not the derech HaTorah.
Bo
cheshbon. That's what. Yeah.
No, he made a book that every morning you write in it what you did.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. The whole week you organize things.
Oh, that's a book called Bo
cheshbon. Yeah. I forgot.
Very nice. Says Rabbi Shalom, we should do that. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So to end, we'll say what the Gross says. The Gross says like this. It says in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chesamav. It says Alzos Yisbal Kol Chasid Leis Mitzoy. Pasuk in Tilim Lamed Base. If you're Tilim Zog, you know this pasuk. Every should daven Leis Mitzoy to the time of finding. What's the time of finding? What are we finding? Mitzoy. So the Gemara has different pshatim. One is Mitzoy means his wife. Because it says Matzah Isha, Matzah Toy, so Leis Mitzoy, the time of finding, means the finding of a wife. Another pshat, Leis Mitzoy Zutayra. It means Torah, Ki Mait, because the Pasuk says, Ki Matzoy, Matzah Chaim. Somebody finds, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, somebody finds Torah, finds life. So when it says Leis Mitzoy, it means Torah. Third pshat, Leis Mitzoy Zumisa. When someone dies, Shiyamas Mimisa Yaf, Menaychid, that a person should be Leis Mitzoy, he should die a good death. We all daven for that. Shenemar lamavis taitzos. Okay. Marzuta, and then there's a fourth pshat. Marzuta says, leis mitzoy. What does it mean, that beis hakise? That means the sheiratim. That means the person has, because the bati hakisos, it was, in those days it was michutz le'ir, was outside the city, and hati is somebody who has an eis mitzoy, means it's nearby. Zokta vil negayim. What's the Gemara talking about? We're talking about, you know, to have an Eishes Chayim. We're talking about Torah. We're talking about Misa. We're talking about Beis HaKise. What's up to Satan? Says the Vilna Gaon that whenever the Gemara uses a mashal, it means being able to separate the good from the bad, the good from the psoilus. Just like that's what it's there for, to separate the good from the bad, to get rid of the psoilus. So he's saying, was la'es mitzoy, that when we go through life, we have to be very, very careful. That we have to be careful because we have challenges at every single minute of the way, taking us away from the proper derech, taking us away from the right way to go in life. So the Vilna Gaon, Leis Mitzoy, means that we should be always, we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should help us separate out the good from the bad, the wheat from the chaff. The chaff is something that, you know, that's Shrek L'Chazach. And we have right now, you read something in the paper, and you don't realize it's making Rosham. You read something on the internet. You're making Rosham. It sounds innocent, but it's making Rosham every minute. It can take you away from the Derech Chaim. It can take away from Yiddishkeit. So a person has to always be careful in what he does, that it should be Leis Mitzoy, that it should be something they should always go off the Richtin Derech. Never go on the Derech. That's not the Derech HaYosha. Okay, do we have time for one more thing? Now, we have time for one more Zach. Let's go on to Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And this is very interesting. It says, "V'chia ish sayna l'reyu." A person, and I'm sure we're about to learn. I've never heard of. I'd be surprised if any heard this. "V'chia ish sayna l'reyu." If a person hates his neighbor, the arav loy. It's page 546. The arav loy v'kama lo, and he goes and he nebuchadneko and he kills him. Oy nefesh v'meis, and the person dies. He should run to the Ari Mikla where they find out if he's a murderer Shayger, he's a murderer Bemezit. V'sholchu zikne ira v'lachos v'misham v'nasna v'isam v'yad goyel adam. And therefore, if he is a murderer and he did it Bemezit, they give him back to goyel adam to be killed. Lo yisachu zayn cha'olot. Don't have mercy. Can you imagine Targum saying, don't have mercy on this person. V'yad adam anokim Yisrael. And take the innocent blood out of Yisrael, which is a funny thing, wouldn't it? You should say, take the innocent blood out of Yisrael. What did the innocent blood do? Wrong. The tayv look, and it'll be good for you. Says Rashi, why would you want to have mercy on a murderer? Right? Nowadays they've gotten rid of the death penalty in many places. So says Rashi, Shloi timer harishon far nerek, lama anu horgim ezeh, v'nim tzushnei Yisrael imu harugim. He's, the first one's already dead. So why should we kill the second one and kill two Jews? So you might say, it's, you know, we want to get rid of the death penalty. It says the Torah, don't have mercy, because only through that can you bring innocent blood and get it out of Klal Yisrael. What is this talking about? What are we talking about, innocent blood? What are we talking about, how the murderer kills somebody and don't have mercy on him? What are we talking about? So he says an amazing thing. He brings to the Sefer Tzor HaMor. Ramaz b'zeh soid gadol misisri atayra binyan harugim. He's going to tell you a big secret about murderers. about people who are murdered. Ki harav sheshayvchen dama kamayim hoyle v'no v'no v'oretz v'eino oyle mala. That a person was murdered, his nefesh, his neshama can't go upstairs. It goes, it wanders. Ad until sheyinkam nikmasav yargel ratzeach, until you kill the ratzeach. Until then, if he feels justice was not done, the neshama was killed, says, he feels, I was killed, and there's no justice, and this person's walking around, and I'm Nebuch no longer here. So there's a kitrig. There's a kitrig on Klal Yisrael. Why is nobody taking the Rotzeach? Why is nobody killing the Rotzeach? Why is justice not being served? So he can't find menucha for his nefesh, and he can't go up to Shemayim. Therefore the Torah says, don't give him. And that's why he's Osiku Kaifer Nefesh Rotzeach. And you can't take a payment from it in a different place. So as the Oretz Asher Tabok Yadamu Yachnef as Oretz, because the blood is crying out. We find that by Kayin, by Hevel, the Dam is crying out. What does it mean the Dam's crying out? What is Dam crying out? The answer is because there's this justice in the world. And when justice is not served, the person who was the victim of that justice, their people, who had things done to them, who their entire life cannot get over it. If somebody, as a child, somebody did a Schlechte Sache to them, their whole life can be destroyed from it. Without, you know, the proper therapy and so on, a person can be destroyed because they feel there was injustice in the world. And they say, Eli L.A. Wiesel, we can quote him, said that from the Holocaust, he said, as bad as the Holocaust was, but the greater pain was that nobody did anything about it. The victim feels the pain that the bystander stood by and there was no justice. That's as big a pain as the pain itself. So therefore, when someone's murdered, His neshama is crying out for justice, and it's a kidrig on Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will suffer from it until the hiring, until the murderer is punished.
What if they can't find the murderer?
In a chanan. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the murderer, right? Because what does it say? How do we get that one person falls on the other one and kills them? Because the first one killed somebody and they couldn't find it to punish him bidei Adam, so the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of him. He's bitten by a snake. The Gemara says that somebody who's, I don't remember exactly which ones it is, but somebody who's chayav skila falls off a building and gets killed. Somebody who's chayav sreif is bitten by a snake. Somebody who's chayav, so each one, so enechanami, if the judgment is not done, It's done by the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of it, because otherwise these neshamas don't have, that's what he said, the neshamas don't have any sort of a sense of peace. So therefore the Torah says that you have to go and you have to take a look, and that's what, now we go back to the Pesukim. It says, Lo sachos al ein chalav ubiar te dam hanokim Yisrael, take the blood of the innocent person Yisrael. What the blood of the innocent for Klai? So the answer is the innocent person is having a taina on them. And therefore, that's why we have to do this.
So this doesn't refer to accidents.
What?
This does not refer to accidents.
No, we're not talking. Deliberate murder.
No, deliberate murder.
Definitely, okay. Deliberate murder. Accident, we know, is the whole opinion of the Ari Miklat and all of that. It's a whole different way of dealing with it. And then there's even within accidents, was it a real accident or was it a negligent accident? You know, the insurance companies learn from the tire how to handle all these different things. But here we're talking about a person's a ratzeach. So the person who was killed cries out of justice. Well,
because
there was no justice being served. So I'd like to just apply this. This is a very, very tyra and scary thing that the Sefer Sora Amor is telling us. But I think the application is a very important application. The application is that when a person was ba'aveled by someone else, somebody caused a person pain, and then remember, Lashon Hara is like Ritzicha. It's a Me'ina Ritzicha. Ma'avu p'nei chaveru b'rabim. A person's blood drains out of their face and their white face. That's a type of Ritzicha. All these things are a type of Ritzicha. And we have to be very careful, Chas v'Shalom, that we should never be a Ritzicha. You know, you'll say, what do I have to do with Ritzeach? I've never killed anybody. I never planned on killing him. The answer is, we may have. Maybe we weren't careful and we embarrassed somebody, or we said something about somebody. We said a Lashon Hara that damaged somebody. In that sense, on one hand, we could all, chas v'shalom, have a little bit tzicha in us. On the other hand, we should also realize that if we stand by, we're also in a guilty party because we have the ability to do something about it. The person who was damaged cries out to us. Have you ever had somebody tell you, why didn't you stand up for me? Right? How come I got something did something, why didn't you stand up for me? It's a kitchen. So I think we learn from this difficult parsha. We learn an important lesson in life. We learn the lesson that we all have to be very, very careful of how we talk to other people, because chas v'shalom, we don't want to be in that matzav where the other person's neshama is crying out to us all the time, and we want to be matzav being the bystander who didn't do anything either. And if we are chas v'shalom in the matzav of the person who got ba'avled, of the nereg, then we should do our best to give a mechila, because the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at how we treated others who did bad to us, and then will treat us more kindly when we do bad to others. So if I forgive somebody else, so when I'm the bad guy, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam forgive me too. So we have to all realize that we're probably all on both sides of this equation. There's sometimes we're the person who's doing the avla, and sometimes the person got the avla. But when we got the avla done to us, and we forgive, so hopefully Ribbono Shel Olam will forgive us as well. So we have a good lesson that we can learn out from it. So the bottom line is that we have to do our best to try not to ever chas v'shalom say anything bad, do anything bad, and never chas v'shalom be in that matzav ratzeach. And also, hopefully, if we have the schus to be a bystander and we can do something, we have to step and do something as well. We're coming up to El. We're in El. We're coming up to. We're there already. It's hard to get used to it. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, and we'd be starting. And now's the time. We talked about Cheshbon HaNefesh. We started out. We talked about the Chayvus of us. Cheshbon HaNefesh. Even if you didn't do it like a Avodah Shmuel, even do it like the Chayvus of us every minute, and you didn't like a Avodah Shmuel twice a day, and you didn't do it like Shmuel every day. But now's the time. Once a year, at least, do it. You know, we can't do it all the time. Well, now's the time in El when the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "I'm here. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it." We should all have those conversations with Ribbono Shel Olam, and we should all come out to be Mitzvah Hashem, be Zeicha B'din, and we shouldn't have to make any more Zeicha Nishmas. Everybody should have the Refuah Shleima Mitzvah Hashem.
And justice will prevail.